interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 444. Boy, almost choked on the Cricketude Busting part. I really don't know that that's going to happen. I keep hoping, but I'm not so sure. I'm really being tested in my optimism. And the people rise above their oppression. Giving discussion with a friend of mine this week, and relative to our mining claim and the complaint that I'm writing and such, made a comment about they're manipulating capitulation, which I thought was fascinating. I might actually title this broadcast that. I don't know. I've got a couple of ideas, but manipulating capitulation. It's another problem. It's that incremental encroachment condition, and they get you to capitulate ever so little. And this is, I guess, what struck me about that statement, that phrase, was that's what I'm witnessing now in these affidavits, that were to protect people for their employment and set up a record that they could defend against an employer, as I've been explaining for all y'all, that have been threatened with your jobs. And the only reason why I talk about it is because people are asking and threatened. Otherwise, I have nothing more to contribute in some regard. And yet, people have been filing the affidavits, which are now, I'm understanding, are being accepted. But there's a hearing. And a lot of this evidence is coming through state agencies that are people who have state jobs. So you may be hearing the noise in the news about people, you know, officers and stuff doing lawsuits, and they're losing left and right, just as I've told you they would, because the wrong answer by the attorneys. But they don't listen to the paperwork that they filed. They don't follow through. And it becomes a capitulation. You're so afraid of your work more than the wrongness that's against us that we will capitulate. And at one level, I can't judge that. That's not for me to do. And I've told everybody that I'm working with or mentoring or whomever that that's not my decision or that's their decision to do that if they go that far. But what they're walking into is they negate the fact that to force the employer or the government, in this case, the government itself, to demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. And then they answer all the questions. And they end up capitulating to some measures of mitigation. And I understand the psychology behind it. I understand why the people do that. But they're capitulating into the authority that has no authority. It's fascinating. And so I really have to wonder what about us when I talk about the cricketude busting. I don't know that that's in us anymore. I don't know that we're a people, you know, Americans. I mean, I know there's a spirit. I know it sits there. I know it's there to resist. And there's a lot of people that are resisting. But the most earnest people coming forth and putting their foot down, if you will, when it comes to execution, I told you, it's not just about a knowledge. It's not even just about having a piece of paper that you can use. It's how are you going to execute upon the power that you're starting to invest yourself with. That's there to do. So I want to caution us against, I don't know if I talked about it this way, neat little phrase to me, manipulating capitulation. This is the incrementalness of what's going on against us. We're not following through. And as they continue these agendas, they give them names. They actually push them. Those of us that have a mind, eyes to see and ears to hear, we identify them. But even the most strident resistor will still be manipulated into capitulation in this move toward building back better. But remember, they didn't define what better is when they said we needed to build back better. And they've said a lot of things, but better, in this case, it's all advertisement. I can't believe it's butter. Well, I can't believe. What do you mean you can't believe it's not butter? I can't believe it's not butter. Why? I mean, we're supposed to make that up. But they say build back better. Better what? They put that in your mind. They put that in you to answer for them, and they're not here for us. For these deranged psychopaths, the green religious faithful, better is you living in controlled austerity, without property, and liking it. Don't worry, be happy. See, and your loved ones underneath this better, our loved ones are dying to reduce your numbers to sustainability levels that protect Gaia. You have to understand all these words. You don't even hear about this stuff, but this is ends up being one of the themes, and that's a cover as well. How, because it's a warm and fuzzy, like we have something to do. It's the, it's just a story that you want, that they'll get you to capitulate, that gets you to manipulate you into that capitulation. And you'll at some point give up your rights for what little bit you think you can hold on to. So what the sustainable to these psychopaths, these deranged psychopaths, is you're either dead, disabled, or diminished. Is that the better you want to build? And in the silence of that, they're building that better. But I've talked to you how I got involved with this and seeing it. It took, I mean, it was mind-numbing in a way, but it took engaging a state legislature for 1 year to be able to see how they're doing this and how they've been doing it long before any of us really understood and paid attention. And lots of us are not paying attention anyway. And those of us that are trying to pay attention, we're finding the resistance, and it's pretty difficult. And then a few like myself, who can't find anybody else really to talk with, to really work out the real nitty-gritty about this thing, we're just dismayed. I'm dismayed at what I watch. So, build back better to what? They're going to build back better. You're either dead, disabled, or diminished. And if you want, so with them moving all the time, if you sit quiet, they're moving all the time. You watch this incrementally coming back. It's manipulating your capitulation, even if in your silence to not respond, that's been manipulated as well. And to stop them building back the better they want, you better get quickly behind the woodshed. Teach these miscreants lessons they won't soon forget. And the more I look, the more the power is there to do it if we would just get people to recognize that. And I don't know that people are being able to recognize it. I don't know. Again, I have nobody really to discuss these more technical aspects with. In a way, maybe we don't need to, because the point is talking's not doing. They need you divided. What you need to do is come together right now over behind the woodshed. You are putting the mark on the beast. You are putting the lashes to the miscreants. And that was the way this place was wired, wherever you live, actually. They need the people to be compliant, to capitulate. They, the occupier of your life, those you see readily will not recognize the law, that's the black and white objective basis, the law, that they were duty-bound to fulfill. Not you. It's all on them. Oh, yeah, we got the penal side, which says that generally you have things that you can do wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the function of legitimate government, not the occupation of under the color of legitimate government. And we were told we had the republic to keep. We had our way of life to keep. That was on us. And so it's come down, and it's really, for me, it's been clear how this all works. And so it continues. I cannot change what I'm saying. It's the same. It works over and over. It sounds like the broken record. And I guess I'm going to continue to say it, even though it's wearing on me, to say, as a broken record, what you really need to start stepping up to do. Confront the miscreant. I don't know the totality of our power on our own, but I do know when we start coming together right now, this thing's over. Everyone needs to insist that every official demonstrate that non-fraudulent exigency. Why do I use those words? I have to interject non-fraudulent, because fraud is the world now. But you have to state in there, because they're presenting this fraud as real. You have to then challenge it by adding the insertion clause. But they have to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency. You have to insist that they do that. And you have to ask the official, however you do that, whether it's a public hearing or a letter or whatever it is, where the evidence is that they're using this. Not, without describing a non-fraudulent agency, they're using this whole thing to irreparably harm you. And you don't stop beating that point behind the woodshed until the official provides a lawful cause or resigns. maybe resign is a weak way to go. I was having a discussion about that. We don't want like the mineral tech that's violating us in the Forest Service. I'll just order, tell them that one of the rare Menzies is resign. And my friend said, well, isn't that get him off the hook? I said, well, if that's all we get because no one wants to do any law, let's get what we can. And so I don't know what the total answer is. All I know is we put our best foot forward. We stand together in the strength of the objective basis that the officials had the duty to follow and haven't. And we may have see this thing turn around. And until we do, they're building back better without defining what that is. And I've told you what it is. It's you being dead, disabled, or diminished. Remember, austerity sits right here to do this. Each one of you, however you get this out, must do this or else they get this insanity to rule over you. There's not going to, your incremental capitulation doesn't save us, doesn't save you. In fact, that's the problem I'm working on with the people that filed affidavits and then agreed to mitigation measures. We're looking at in a time for February, they're going to reassess all these people. And now they've already given up the authority at some level to the oppressor that didn't have a right. And so I'm looking forward in the future for them. They don't understand. It's like dealing with little kids, little children. You hear kids a lot today, a little bit. We're dealing with a deranged psychopath and no one really stands up. And I still have to wonder, is deranged psychopath redundant? Tell the miscreant official, you are lying to us while you irreparably harm us. Call them out. Say you have, your words, I'll just say it in paraphrase here. You tell them you haven't faithfully executed the law. You have failed to demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency to allow you to speak. Allow you to have a position. And tell them if you don't lawfully demonstrate the exigency, resign. Tell them the destruction that they're talking about, that you're suffering, is caused by them. Tell them the public record is lacking proof of the infectious agent. And ask again, where is the evidence of your non-fraudulent exigency? Can we start doing those simple questions? Can we reduce those four or five questions to two? One, whatever gets you involved to start pressing these officials from causing this grief in everyone's life, the building back better. The future they want means you dead, diminished, or disabled. Is that the future you want? Or are they gaining and manipulating your capitulation? Who are the parties involved? What's going on? It's right there in the law who is supposed to be going on, and I still haven't figured out why everybody would do every other thing or hand themselves the power and then walk away from it. I understand that people want to work and just want to be left alone. They just want to get along. I get all that. But we're in a time they're changing our whole life structure. And as I keep pointing out to people, it's all in the law to do that. They've done it inside the law. And I've explained to you how they've done it. I've explained to you after dealing with them for a year at 2009, the state legislature, I watched the Bar Association and the Bar Association support system and the university system and the law schools. They have thousands of people to write laws. And they've researched a lot of this so they know where they're going and what they do. They put laws in pieces, the parts of which, after they're agreed to, you don't see them coming. You don't really see what they're about. They look pretty good. And yet you see what's inside them, the nuts and bolts and beams and framework to construct the thing they want. Once the bills get passed, someone behind already knows what to do with all those bills. And so it goes right past the legislature. They have plausible deniability. Actually, they wouldn't even see it unless they've done the kind of study that I happened into because what? I was in there doing it. It wasn't from afar. It wasn't looking at the internet. It wasn't even all the study I did to be able to see it. It was in there doing something. Did I like it? No. It was necessary, though. And so this is necessary. I know people don't want to do anything, and it's easier not to. I get all that. I think it's people don't appreciate really the danger that we are in. Oh, I see the news, and I see that danger. That's not the danger I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about the inside, the cancer inside the system, that when it's exposed, causes such a shock to people that they might actually respond. In other words, the system, the occupier cannot allow itself to be known or the parts of it be known because it's a threat to its security. Because the international law is you don't piss off the natives when you occupy a country. You don't let them know you're there. And Libre Code tells us, but you know them when you see them. You don't have to be told you're underneath a control. You'll know it when you see it. How do you know it today? You're not following any law. Not one jurisdiction in the world has followed their own rule of law, communicable disease statutes. Not one jurisdiction in the world. Think about the scope of this, folks. And how the spirit, that evil spirit that had to be working inside this, that drove the entire world into the insanity and function through the insanity, all at one time. Not one. Get away from the communicable disease statute. Not one, because this is what the governors did, at least in the United States. Not one of them even demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency for an emergency they were declaring, even though they're denying it's a communicable disease. And they're saying, oh, it's just an emergency. Not one, folks. And so you have witnessed under Libre Code, you know them when you see them. You don't have to tell you that you're occupied people. You don't have to tell you that you're not free, whatever you felt about that before. You don't have to tell you that you're controlled. You don't have to. They don't have to tell you that they're not going to give you what you thought they have. They don't. They just, like last week I told you, that seems like nobody wanted to actually see half the views from last week at BitChute. Fascinating that I told you that you're under attack. They've declared war against you. And people could care less. That you have to say the thing. You have to call out the occupier. They don't want, the occupier cannot have you pissed off. And but they're telling you at every point, you do not enjoy the law that sits on the books. For the fact that I've heard everybody want, not everybody, lots of people condemn the law. That's the only thing in black and white right now that's objective that you can point to that will save this. And I don't think anybody actually is understanding that. So what are these secrets that are national security level that the occupier doesn't want? The people that are silently running the machine, the Oz guy behind the curtains. Who are these folks? Well, I was telling you last week or so, there was a news that we were going to get the JFK files, and I told you a long time ago, I don't think they're coming. Well, they didn't disappoint this week. Biden releases, delays release of secret JFK assassination files. So I wanted to know why. Okay, what's the reason? Does it really matter to me? Well, not really, but now that I see the world as a control structure, it does now. And so we want to find out, really, what's going on? There's lots of theories. Let's get that solved. Let's get it past us. Let's get the people to look at that. No, they're not going to let that happen. And COVID is hiding. I told you that COVID would hide all the sins that these folks needed to take you out. And that ultimately is what they said. COVID has now interfered with the ability of the National Archive to assemble this document. However, they said something a little bit more important. And this is what you need to listen for. And I don't know what it means as far as what we do, but it gives us an insight of how we're occupied. How the people that are sitting in places of power are actually the puppets that we know they are. And where we can then use that to anticipate where this thing goes. They said on top of COVID, of all things, which is, again, they manufactured this. The self-inflicted wound. The thing that was man-made, not natural. Can't be. You know it when you saw it, said novel. Everyone still has this conversation about, oh, it's novel. Yeah, it's not new. Novel doesn't mean new. Novel means it was patented. It has to be man-made. It's not natural. One word tells you all that. And yet they've persisted in doing this, and now they've blamed the public knowing what's going on in their country. Some of you don't even know about it. John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You know, we look at the politics. Does it matter? In some regard, no, they were going to run that agenda, but serious things were going on to tell us something about where this thing might be going, why we might be looking at the problems we're looking at today, the agendas that are being pushed, the destruction being done, the shifting power control, and maybe why, is all sitting, potentially sitting in here. And I found really interesting insight, although I don't, again, have an answer. How do you know? Till it comes out, we don't know. But the White House memo regarding this, I understand Biden came in, made the statement, and left, said, quote, temporary continued postponement is necessary to protect against identifiable harm to the military defense, intelligence operations, law enforcement, or the conduct of foreign relations that is of such gravity that it outweighs the public interest in immediate disclosure. If you thought the public interest in an informed society was the paramount moment here, ever, that's been dashed if you didn't think about it. What did Trump do? He did the same thing. He continued it. Why? What's the common denominator I want to start focusing on here? I told you when Trump didn't do it, well, the last one standing, the last living celebrity of any note was a president that died just before he was going to say, he could have said yes and passed that out. And he still said no. And I said, okay, it's not people. We're not talking about they're protecting people. They're protecting international relationships. Now, what possible international relationship is persistent till today? So strong that you don't have a right to know, and that the intelligence operations are advising, and this is the advice that was given from intelligence operators like the CIA. What group of countries, so-called, this state, this oppressor in the Middle East, is the CIA integral with dealing with? The only entity that they could be protecting is not a man anymore. If there was a question on that, on the President of the United States and all the secrets he could have known, he died. He died last time when this thing came up, and now another president comes up and says, no, national security, CIA, intelligence operations tell me, don't let anybody know. It's going to harm the military defense and intelligence operations and law enforcement. Wow. Law enforcement. That's you, folks. Who is this thing? I just kind of gave you a hint. Who has been involved from the beginning? Does Jack Rubenstein give you a clue? Zapruder taking the film? The condition of the Dimone nuclear facility that's supposed to be open secret? I don't know. You can tell me, Mark on the Beast at ProtonMail.com. Who is left as a man or a woman that would have been of any import that they're protecting at a national security level? I don't know who it is. I don't know that there's any available. The only thing now is nations. They went to international, foreign relations is the word they use. What relations, folks? Do you think it's Russia? Do you think it's China? No. It looks like we're down to the final culprit. And they are willing to not give the public its needed information and disclosure to understand about the government that rules over them and whom the is maybe being the puppet masters to the tyranny that you live under. Today, under COVID, who is the leader, one of the leaders in the imposition of the tyranny of the vaccinations and the control? Do I really need to say it? If you don't know a part of what I'm saying, you need to do a little bit of research. Get a perspective on what's going on here. Biden delays JFK records, another report here, assassination records, blaming COVID pandemic. That's a fraud, folks. You see what they're doing under a fraud. A fraud continues a fraud. Now JFK is wrapped up in this. What is this fraud covering? Who's in the influential, causing the undue influence across the world somehow? I don't even understand. Who took out a Catholic president? I think it was the first one. Isn't this a Irish Catholic president? Now covering that up a little bit longer? Who is so influential that these people are doing this? And I got to thinking that Biden's not. Maybe this may insult the Irish. I don't think Biden's the Irishman he says he is. He's going to be a poor excuse. Not to the feisty, upstanding Irish people I knew when I was growing up. Haven't met many of them lately. I don't meet many people. I'm somewhat of a hermit anymore. And partly out of all this nonsense and trying to keep an ability so that I don't get tangled up keeps me free to do the things I'm doing. Or at least I think I'm doing. And so, we're not going to get this JFK yet. Did you read that? The temporary postponement? Temporary continued postponement. What is that? And all this word salad of you ain't getting it. You aren't deserving as the American public. You don't deserve to have information to be able to even run your politics without this secret. Because it has to do with foreign entanglements. Something we were warned this country should never be into. Violating all the principles. And what have I said over and over? When you're not watching the principles work, you're watching an oppression or an occupation that's controlling you. And it's up to you, if you want to be free from it, to dig it up and expose it. So, partly I'm disappointed only because I want this thing done. I want this over. I want to know what's going on. I just want to know that much. Whether or not I can do anything with it, I'm not worried about. I want to have another perspective cleared. I want the record cleared here. They're not going to give it to us. This thing is rising to such a high level, though, with all the men and women, the dead, that would have had a say, we're not going to foreign relations. Who is that relation that they're trying to protect? And why? Why? I've already been through all the analysis on that the Zionistas don't have a right. They don't have the power, and yet they have the influence. And look at your government right now and the pervasiveness of the Zionista influence inside your government, the cancer inside your government. That we can't find out how a president was assassinated or what was found out about that assassination and what might have played out is another notice to you that I'm saying strongly to you. You're being told by the silence of what's working what you're subject to. Now, the maelstrom that was created around this in our nation, the United States of America, with that execution, whether we'll ever find out, is not necessarily going to affect this little thing. Last week I said all I was looking for was my Jetson car, and I guess I ask and I shall receive. This week I'm finding out is the video of Jetson 1. I'm going to get my Jetson car, I guess. Well, some facsimile. Jetson 1 official launch happened this last week after I asked, where's my Jetson car? This is a interesting little device. It's a single-seater. It's a ultralight, so you don't even need a license. It's pretty neat, electrical flying device, and it's kind of neat, but it doesn't have the bloop-bloop drive, so I'm not so sure, and I don't think it's nice and quiet like the Jetson car, but here, we got a good start. I got to give you a link. You can watch it. It's pretty neat little craft to fly around in. It only goes 15 minutes right now. That'll be shifting as this battery technology increases, I suppose. I guess if we ask, we shall receive. We'll get a Jetson something or other on the horizon. As those of you in New York, now this is a behind the woodshed public safety warning for all y'all in New York City. DHS begins releasing gas on New York City citizens at 120 locations in biological attack simulation. Can you believe this, folks? How tone deaf, if these people were true, how tone deaf can you get? We're going to release gas 120 places. It isn't going to be just one little time. It's going for weeks, folks. Those of you in New York, pay attention. Remember and don't forget about biological weaponry and the binary and trinary courses of attack. The testing at all they call is non-toxic, like they say the jabs are safe. Like they've said lots of things that the government has said isn't going to hurt us. Oh, just a little bit. Remember the Clean Water Act, things that aren't supposed to hurt you. The non-pollution acts are actually laws to pollute and poison just a little bit. The question is that enough? Is that enough to harm you? In particular, now we see with the COVID so-called thing, the comorbidity that you may not know that this thing may target. Non-toxic. They use chemistry to do this. And I want to focus a little bit on this because I want to remind you, I've been looking and looking and looking, I don't see any biology. You're looking at chemical attacks and the chemical interactions of which we can't possibly know. They claim these to be non-toxic. That's a level of toxicity. So on Monday, the Department of Homeland Security and Metro Transit Authority began a drill in which government agents will release a gas at over 100 locations to simulate a biological attack. These are not biological. They're novel, folks. These are chemical weapon attacks. So that's a lie. Authorities say that the gas is non-toxic. It's in quotes. In other words, it's toxic to a certain point, but will be released in closed spaces underground the city's subways systems as well as outdoors. Don't want to read more. You can read on it. If you're in New York, read it. If you're not in New York, go read it. See what the government thinks it can do against you. This is all under Title 50. They claim it'll simulate an aerosol release of a biological agent in a densely populated urban environment. This is a repeat over and over of the same attack and testing of what megacities and these metropolis and urban night areas will, how they will respond. Is it innocuous? Don't know. I can't possibly tell you. Is it non-toxic? Well, I already know that it's toxic to some level. They just make the definition of the threshold. Just like they change the threshold of the PCR, just like they're changing the definition of vaccine, just like they're changing what it means to be vaccinated. Yeah, it's a moving target. This is what military does. And it is coming from the DHS, right? Homeland Security. What did I say about 9/11? It started this whole nonsense and nobody shut it down. Operation Hindsight 2020 is still a success. And I keep looking at that cricket tube busting, and it's just started. Now it's starting to irritate me. It always irritated me, but somehow this week's a little bit more. They're manipulating capitulation. That's what a successful occupier does. Just fascinating to watch that execution. And you don't think they want to harm you and stuff, and I'm talking about they're after your little kids. They're after your little goats. You think I'm joking? Well, yeah, I'm partly joking about the duality of the meaning of words. I've been saying kids means little goats. It's your children or kids. They're little goats. They're little animals. They're humans. They're monsters without inheritable blood. Klaus Schwab says you're not going to have property and like it. You'll be happy. That's a monster. That's an animal. And I want my view on this next story is listen to now how the last week we were talking children and this week we're mostly talking kids. They're after your little goats. I've been telling you this the whole time. This is because they're the future. We are the so-called children's future, not them, because they have to come through what we leave and what we did to them and the abuse we allowed upon them. White House details plan to quickly, supposedly at warp speed still, quickly vaccinate 28 million children age 5 to 11. The Biden administration on Wednesday unveiled its plan to quickly vaccinate roughly 28 million children ages 5 to 11, pending authorization from the Food and Drug Administration. That's another thing that came to me. You need to tell these people they no longer can be trusted. They have violated your trust, and they're not getting it back with the degree of breach that they've caused. You start sending the message that there's nothing now they can do and they are the enemy. You call them the terrorist. You call them the attacker. And then you stand back on the law and say, because you haven't done this. It's not about protesting about the masks. It's about finding the duty that these officials were supposed to do that you can identify they didn't do, and the black and white that backs that up, not your opinion, and you keep it stuck in their face, and everybody keeps that stuck in their face. Otherwise, they're coming after your little kids. You read this story, the title says children, you look inside, and I notice 9 times in this, they use the word kids. Half the time, they use the word children now. Completely, they weren't talking about kids last week. As you see these dirt terms coming out to load up your mind, to load up what's going on. They're telling you what's going on. You think I'm, kids, your little goats is just a joke when I tell you that? No, they're treating your little ones as the kids of another barnyard animal. You. And they're just going to inoculate your little goats. And that was really the only important part about this title, these stories. Coming for your kids. Another story. White House moves quickly that to vaccinate 28 million children ages 5 to 11, despite lack of threat from a virus. Another point. On top of the fact that it can't be a virus. It's novel. It's a chemical weapons attack. It's a synthesized protein. And in this story as well, they point out kids, even the people that are arguing and against this thing, will use the same terminology as the system is using. I find that fascinating. Every time I try to use these words that they're using against you, I try to give you the other definition. Nobody seems to do that. I don't know if that matters. I think it matters to me because that's my magic decoder ring. It gives me the eyes to see if anybody would understand that that's I hope I do and people recognize it. Your children are the state's ward. The parent is the custodian of the state's ward. They never talk about your sons or daughters. Your kids are these children. The kids are the little animals. The animals is what the veterinary jabs are all about. Remember, this all starts from a military process of veterinary. For their horses and other things. Am I waking some people up, putting you to sleep? You go yawn, you change the channel. This is how it's all pulled together. They justify all of this. And when you started to see this happening, Libra Code is screaming to me. They're telling everybody, when they say kids, they're telling you they're treating you like animals. Their little ones are not yours. They're barnyard animals, and their veterinary is coming to shoot your little ones. Right in the arm, just like Bill Gates said, shoot it right in the arm, push it right in there. They don't care. You think the government's there to protect you? Got another story here, comes up. To me, it's just water. To me, I don't even know why I'm talking to you, so I'm trying to bring, hopefully, some sort of impetus to show you the pervasiveness that it's easy to say, oh, the horror and not step into it. And some of this stuff we don't have a place to, but we don't have to either, that you have to engage. Because the people in the system are the cancer at this point. And to leave them there perpetuates it. And then the system itself knows it's an amoeba. It knows how to take your temperature so that you think something's good going on. This is what this story is. Also listen to the source. Top FBI official is in charge of crimes against children, arrested for sex crimes against children. That's repeated twice in that heading. The wards of the state are the ones that get attacked. Those that they bring into the system are worse. A law official, essentially, if you can call the FBI a law enforcement anymore, is the culprit. What have I told you about all these news articles about the roundups, the record history-making roundups in states? You never hear about these people. This guy got out of hand so bad he had to be picked up. He went across states to do it. And they're in positions of authority. That's how I identified them. Everybody in the CSD... And when I finally recognized it, it was all, procedural court things are eye-rolling, eyes roll back in your head, dry stuff. But you know that understanding what was supposed to happen and watch a judge violate that right in front of everybody and not the attorneys didn't stop it? And the people that they did it against didn't recognize it is what got me even observing that this was happening. Again, you have a knowledge, and now you have to apply it. It's just not knowing stuff. In this case, it had showed me the system itself is the main abuser. And look, we all kind of know that as a way, right? Everybody in a so-called influence and power, right? But in limited government, they don't have that power. What you're finding is a lack of enforcement, or the cancer is so pervasive, they're the occupier. But an FBI official, did you hear an FBI official on the Ohio history arrest? A judge? An attorney? No. No, just the low-hanging fruit, which they call one, a contractor, elite. And if you don't understand about them coming after your little goats, that they don't treat you like your son and daughter, they do not have that care. These people in office don't have that in them. They are actually there to take advantage. It's coming under the color. I don't know how many times I've written that, under the color in the last 6 months. I'm really tired of it. The fraud, they come under color, is a fraud. They're coming under the fraud of the cover of an official. And if those of you that want to listen to the guy behind the woodshed, I find it very fascinating at why, who this is. This lady's going to have none of it. Warning, it's not even a few months from now that we're going to experience what we never imagined. And it's a video that I got you can watch. Grave warning to the world. Spoken to us by a nun who's having none of it. She actually outs the Pope. So those of you that you want to see a little bit of a reflection inside the system, who one of the other culprits in the world is, when we talk about child abuse under the color of benefice, this lady is having none of it. She's telling us what her perspective is while she's wearing a penguin suit. Maybe she was using Linux in order to broadcast. Fascinating observation. Inside the system, the Vatican system, she's exposing to the system that she works in is allowing this. And I've talked about that behind the woodshed relative to what? The Vatican allowing jabs in other places that cause harm to Africans and all that other thing. And then they blame the other, like they didn't know. And then they blame whomever the government, like they're going to have any say over it. It's all a setup. This lady tells us she's having none of it. She's explaining a couple things. Take from it what you will. I find it fascinating. She's talking about one of the head abusers of the world. She's in that organization. Even those people in there can see problems. And I was glad to see that part of it. Now, I passed by this next report about how bad this is, how obvious the notice to you of what they will do to you, who these people are that will do this to you. And I passed by this little story because I'm thinking, water under upside about all this. Why is this a question? But then I realized it is the confession. They're in the confessional, in our public record, if we would just see that. That lady's having none of it. Here's partly probably why. NIH admits U.S.-funded gain of function in Wuhan, despite Fauci's denials. That is a declaration of Title 50 imposition. There's no other provision in the law for this. It is War Department maneuvers. Before this thing is counter and based on the lies of Fauci, fall prey to. His name figuratively means fall prey to. It means jaws as a translation. This guy has been lying. He's been set up to lie. The whole thing's his. It's his organized criminal syndicate. Everything here. He's at the wheel, the controls of everything that's gone on since I remember hearing about the organizations that he's involved in. Not him, but the organizations. When I was just, you just look around like an innocent people in the world just doing your thing. And it happened to be at the time AIDS started to make a noise. This is why. This is what they were starting up then. NIH admits U.S.-funded gain of function, is declaring Title 50 at work, is saying fraud, she lies, and this guy is still in, is giving people advice and being accepted by others in power. Fauci now says to mix and match vaccines. No holidays if you aren't vaxxed. Are we going to continue to listen to this guy? I don't want to read the stories. These headlines. And the study I know, that headline is enough for my study. If it's not enough for your study, read the story, then go do some background check. You take the time it takes to really understand who your oppressors are, who's getting away with, who's listening to them, and then you get to decide, do you want to have that world built for you, or do you want to stop it? Fauci now says mix and match. He's lied continuously before. We're going to listen to him now. He has an authority, folks. Do you understand that the promotion of this gets your manipulate your capitulation to forget the only one in that can declare these things as in your under state law? The subfootnote of this NWO report is this man is so evil it's hard to watch him. Yeah. But that's all we're doing, aren't we? Nobody is stepping up to call this out and just continue to press. And when they give a bad answer, say, just don't even fall into the answer. That's not a demonstration of a non-fraudulent exigency. That doesn't give you the authority to have a say at all until you do. Shut these people down. Keep getting it out there that they do not have the lawful requirements met. Whether or not a judiciary will recognize it, the Bar Association is one of the culprits. When you see them not following law and construing things into oblivion, you're under an occupying force. That's a different one, but it's still an occupier of your life. So Fauci found to be lying. It is military. I don't even think anybody talks about this. Gain of function is military. It comes out of Title 50. You can't go. There's no place else. This guy has been dealing in chemical weapons from the beginning. And now he's in charge of attacking you, and he's marshaling all the forces of all governments, it appears, through his cohorts that are all in league together, all for profit on top of it. What else do I say? What else do I say about this? We see the news. What do you do? Well, you got to turn your attention to where the authority actually is. It's not in these folks. And I can tell you, though, that you need to look in your rules to find that there was in some places, there was rules added to allow these folks at the federal level to have a standing that said they were an expert. And so you have to attack that rule because that subverts the legislative intent that they do they have a duty to do, and they have a duty to do only to one individual at a time. And you have to do the reality of something, not the fairy tale, or the hearsay of what's going on, but what's going on, what actually is going on. My jaw dropped as I read this title to another video, when I tested someone's immune system after the second jab. This is a story, you won't hear the video, just you need to kind of see what a doctor has done. We look at objective basis for those of you that are trying to figure out, well, the government says it's good, and they show you a bunch of chemistry you can't understand, you don't even understand what it is. You haven't listened behind the woodshed even to put a basic one and one and one together to see that it's three, and that means four because that means it's going to do something. Those three components do something, that's four. Talk about dimensional shifting. See, they work on knowledge and applied. You don't. I'm asking you to start taking your knowledge and apply it. Do the consequence, and then you have to go to the next step, the fifth dimension. What am I going to do to stop this tyranny against me, this harm, this violence against me, this war against me, against my little ones, against my friends' little ones? And I'll tell you, there's not much reception out there, even so. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, even people that are trying to fight, they end up being manipulated to capitulate to an authority that does not exist. This doctor, in short, here has a healthy male who receives the vax, the jab, to keep his job. He didn't do anything to protect it. He just go ahead and get along, I guess. He keeps his job, then allows a doctor that he has to run blood tests on him between each injection. He receives two. After the first injection, he started showing lowered T cells. By the second one, he had developed an autoimmune disorder, one with no treatment. So here's evidence of what one doctor is finding, some pretty interesting information. They're just results. You get to see them yourself. I think it's very important that you see it. Don't just listen to me. See what this doctor's putting together, and kind of start adding that to your knowledge base. FDA, and based on that, you then hear that, and you hear this stupidity. And there's reasons why, again, if you're in a organized criminal syndicate attack, a war against you, it's all, they're all the cohorts are involved, all intermingled. You can't expect anything else. And so that's another type of a proof. But FDA clears Moderna and J&J COVID vaccine boosters, allows mix and match shots. Just what we heard Fauci say, oh, you could have mix and match if you want to enjoy your holiday. Who is this guy? Who are these people that this FDA clears the Moderna and J&J vaccine to mix these things? How is it okay to do that when they were saying they didn't know, when they were actually dealing with the same synthetics? Remember, the spike protein is only one thing. It's the only synthesized thing that the CDC possesses and owns as a patent, the novel thing. The Food and Drug Administration on Wednesday night authorized booster shots in both Johnson & Johnson's and Moderna's COVID vaccines, another critical step in distributing extra doses to tens of millions of people in the chemical attack. And I looked at that as a Johnson & Johnson, again, not just thinking generally it wouldn't have hit me, but seeing Johnson & Johnson and Moderna, my mind said, wait a minute, those are two different types, at least ostensibly two different types of vaccines. There was real problems with this mixture relative to their ingredients, isn't there? And that was my question, enough to jump in. Johnson & Johnson, the adenovirus, supposed, what is it called, biological organism, that they're then putting the corona protein onto to let it then go into the body. There's a whole interesting, fantastic little understanding about how this works, but they're using this technology. It's not mRNA. And so that we can mix and match these things is pretty interesting. My thought is if I can mix and match, it means that none of the chemistry is actually any different as to what they're trying to do. And you have to understand these boosters are already approved where the vaccines are not. Well, I guess now I'm not going to get into the authorized and approved distinction. There really isn't one. But here we have Johnson & Johnson. So I did a quick little check. I certainly do not profess to be understanding completely and everything. I'm going on cues and clues. I want to understand more. And I got a website, Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine list of ingredients. I wanted to know why this could be the same. And my thought was, and my thought process was, well, we're dealing with the critical factor is the novel lipid, which is the Trojan horse lipid that the body is using, that they're using to get in this spike protein, this synthesized thing, this other chemical agent. They got to sneak it past your body. So if these boosters are the same, all the different variations are the same, they're using the same type of a problem for us. And it has to be that lipid. So let's focus, because that's it. That's the only thing that they could be doing. Johnson & Johnson outwardly didn't appear to have a lipid involved. So I say, well, how can you intermingle the different brands if your reaction is different from them? Well, if they're mixing them, apparently your body responds the same. So I did a little bit more check. I wanted to find out the ingredients. We can read the ingredients on this website. Pretty interesting website, kind of lays it all out for us. On what the, again, gotta take what you read with a grain of salt, but look for the ingredients, look for what it does, like the active ingredient is a recombinant replication in incompetent adenovirus type 26 expressing the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. Well, the incompetent adenovirus is not the same as the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. So that SARS-CoV-2 spike protein had to be put onto the shell of the incompetent adenovirus. And we go through the list of these ingredients, and I see a 2-hydroxypropyl beta cyclodextrin, or HBCD. Now, they also have right below that polysorbate 80. What's that? That's when I was talking to you about the emulsifiers, that broadcast, I was explaining all that. That means, again, they are attempting to mix and cause an emulsion between a liquid phase of water and oil. And there's our lipid. Now, what's the lipid? I don't see it in the list. Citric acid, trisodium citrate, ethanol, sodium chloride, those aren't lipids. It's got to be in here. What is this hydroxypropyl beta cyclodextrin? Well, it's a sugar. When you look very carefully, it's very interesting. And so we have to go a little ways. Well, I wanted to find out what is this 2-hydroxypropyl beta cyclodextrin. Got a little website, and this happens really quick. A lot of this information needs to be further qualified, but I'm running with it because it all was seemingly consistent from one different view to the next. Material safety data sheet, very interesting. Identified uses for research use only, not for human or veterinary use, not even for your little kids, folks. And so this one ingredient, it's a sugar. This one ingredient is starting to be a problem right off the bat. And you look through and it says that they've done really no tests for it. They will tell you these, what are they called, psychic, whatever, some fancy smancy word. They will tell you these are supposed to can be beneficial. They will also tell you they can be dangerous. They show no hazards, but they also show they've never really done tests with it. They go through and tell you a description of first aid measures. This is supposed to be safe, and yet it has first aid measures, like CPR. Is that safe to you? Does that sound safe at all to you? Anyway, you can come and look at this. I do need to keep moving on on this information. This is really not necessarily a safe synthetic, and it's a starch. It's not a lipid. Let's keep focused on that because I have to go through quite a few steps to get how do they need polysorbate 80 if we don't have an oil? Because I don't see it anywhere else. And then I find a report that says what you need to know about Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. I find that always interesting. It's what these people want to tell you. They didn't go through the analysis of what some of this chemical is, but they did explain some very interesting things about this vaccine for Johnson & Johnson. And I might be sounding, well, I might be sounding like I'm talking to promote it. I'm saying you need to look at this. Why could they mix this adenovirus-based jab? Let's see, I almost said it, a jab, with an mRNA, which are totally actually different. J&J actually has the ability to say it may have an organism in it, even though it's incompetent, which I don't know how that's a biologic organism, but anyway, it actually might be considered an original vaccine. But they talk about this one page says the AD26 vector expressing the SARS-CoV-2 protein is grown in PER.C6 TetR cells in media containing amino acids and no animal-derived proteins. So this PERC6 is actually the cells that are the ones that come from the aborted fetal tissues, whether it was the liver or the eye or something, girl and a boy, from a long time ago. So they hide that fact inside the PERC6 designation. So this website here that talks about this, which you should know the contents, very interesting to read through. And so I see through, and they're consistent. These stories are consistent to explain the different chemicals. This one says, though, each dose may also contain residual amounts of host cell proteins and or host cell DNA. I wonder what that is. We'll get the short answer. It is those fetal cells. Because if you look and read carefully on some other sites, they will tell you, and I think even in the J&J website, they will tell you that is exactly that they cannot give the remove these things. And that speaks back over to what Clint Richardson's videos on this were talking about as well. He tells you clearly that they cannot get all pieces out in the filtration process. And I'm looking at that. That kind of feeds back into, well, there might be also other funguses and things that get through, isn't there? The kinds of things we might see in pictures that Dr. Maydej is seeing after it sits a while in the atmosphere and quickly grows in a medium that is already conducive to that acid environment. Another report moving on to try and pull this together. There's polysorbate 80 that's an emulsifier. Where's the lipid? I've got a starch now. I've got something they call safe, but I can't prove it. It's not supposed to be used even for veterinary reasons, just for research. Kind of like the PCR, you see. This is all lab-created nonsense, actually. See, J&J COVID vaccine recipients are better off getting Pfizer or Moderna booster, NIH study suggests. Well, they just told you that it's also a military operation. So when they tell you that it's going to be better that you get that one, do you think those might be more effective to what they want to do to you? Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine recipients are better off getting booster shot from Pfizer and Moderna, a highly anticipated U.S. study suggests Wednesday. You probably find out it's the National Institute of Health, and that's the one Fauci runs. You kind of seeing a pattern here? The National Institute of Health study of mixing and matching COVID vaccines included more than 450 adults who have received one of the three regimens currently available in the United States. The study, which looks at whether there are any advantage or drawbacks to using different boosters, hasn't yet been peer-reviewed. So not only is it not peer-reviewed, what will be the drawbacks? From a military standpoint or from your standpoint? Is it the future they want or the one that you want? And so these are very interesting when you read the neutral of the word and then you look from a perspective. This was written to be able to bring consensus, a belief that we can mix and match. Why? Because they're going to do something to us. And it doesn't matter now. We see it doesn't matter which one you get. It's going to do that thing to you. I thought I had a protein website because that's what is it doing? Getting over to the, I must have put it farther down. I don't see it right now. Getting back over to what they put in, they talk about the spike protein. What I had was, and I don't see it right now, got lost in the mix apparently, is go to Wiki and look at protein. I want you to see for yourself and I want you to identify, is there any biological agent to a protein? Is it biologists that look at this, or will you find the word chemistry and biochemists and biochemistry throughout that WikiLeaks entry? That when they're putting on a spike protein as a corona to an adenovirus for the J&J, it is strictly synthetic chemistry. You're looking at a chemical weapon. There is no biology even in this J&J. We'll get to the point. Lipid position point on this report, and this starch is attached to a lipid in the chemistry of it. It's called a glycolipid. And then you read a little bit about those, and you see, oh, that's exactly why they need the ascorbic acid, the polysorbate 80. And the interesting thing is they tell you that the polysorbate 80 doesn't need very much. And if you remember what I said about the emulsions when I was looking at all that, why were they using these lipids and these, then they're clear on top of that, and how do they get them to water and oil to mix? Well, it says that if you look carefully at the glycolipid, its construction and its, charge allows it more, I'm going to say it, Vince, easily to blend with a water that they don't need as much polysorbate 80 in order to get that to happen. It's a delicate balancing act when you mix water and oil, so to say. And so I did find, when you go read, you find that there's a glycolipid that this sugar in the J&J is, that ingredient that they have in there is the lipid that they need, very similar to what they're using to get past your cells, like the Moderna. And what the whole secret is that spike protein chemistry hidden inside the lipid that allows the body to receive it and then delivers it into the cells. So the mechanism is the same no matter how they package the outside. There's three or so steps by the cell, by the time it gets to the cell, to still deliver the very same synthetic manufactured sequence for the protein, the chemistry that puts it together. And when you see how these glycolipids are actually made, it's fascinating what we know, what we do. There's lots of steps to get this. There's a lot of premeditation going on here to get this far. And so how can they make J&J, which is an adeno vector, blend and be as effective for what they want as a mRNA? It's the spike protein. It doesn't matter what delivery system they choose. It all has to be a lipid delivery system. It all requires some sort of an emulsion. That's what you're seeing the ingredients do. But the whole project is to get that protein to get into your cell and let the cell deal with it and become the manufacturing process. So at that level, J&J and Pfizer and Moderna are no different. At that level, they're already telling you, even though they don't need to be, the approval is just a formality. They've all been designed to do one thing, and that's the gain of function. Not necessarily wartime, let's beat out what the so-called Spanish flu in 1918 did. We're looking to do what? We're looking to just to affect the population. Whether that causes your death or your disability or diminishment is what they don't care. It's going to cause something. You're going to fall in the continuum. That's all they want. And they want you to pay for it, and you say, well, I don't pay it. Well, if you pay any kind of taxes, I don't know of any of us that are not taxpayers, two words, not one word. You pay taxes somewhere. The system is set up to take that money from and cause this ability to do it. Why? To promote all that commerce. And so I see now it doesn't matter what Fauci is telling. The truth they're telling you is not obvious. They're telling you that it doesn't matter which one you get. They all will deliver that spike protein and what it's planned to do for you equally. Moving on to what might be the resistance to this crime against us. I hesitate to say crime against humanity because you know about the word humanity, but it is a crime against mankind. In fact, I threw that in our criminal complaint after I put that they're making war crimes to do what they're doing. And it's all the same story, which to my mind, I don't see any difference on how this depends on the elements that they're presenting that you just notice that it's not right. It's not following law. It's harming somebody. They're not having to answer for it, and no one's making them answer for it. That's an attack. That's what happens in war. The attacker is never questioned while he's attacking you. You just know he's attacking, and you better defend yourself. But moving on, some defense is sitting here. What I find interesting a bit, Pennsylvania school directors sever ties with national group after letter likening parents' actions to domestic terrorism. Again, the system is after your little goats, your kids. And so this was a bit of a surprise to see a school board step up against a national group, because this actually speaks more to the public-private partnershiping representation. I talked to you about collaboration, that the third-party agenda agents utilize in order to control local governments and local government functionaries. So seeing this was a bit of a surprise in a way, but I was glad, certainly glad to see it. But you see how far we've gone into insanity that so-called parents, the custodians of the child, the agents of the ward of the state, are called domestic terrorists when you, as a so-called parent, want to protect your son or daughter. The Pennsylvania School Board Associated voted last week to sever ties with its national parent organization over a letter the latter sent to White House likening some parents' behavior to domestic terrorism. That letter was actually written, we're finding out, apparently, and not to my proof. I hadn't seen that, what I'm finding in research. That letter was written or advanced to the national agency or organization to write to send back to the White House. And this is the other thing you're seeing. It's an internal thing, like Fauci making the report that says mixing and matching is okay, and then coming out and saying mixing and matching is okay, and you can do holiday if you get those. And my view on that is what I just went through. How is it okay when they're supposed to be different? Because the novel lipid is not actually different in the delivery of the more important spike protein, which as well is not itself biological. But this school board severs the ties. They called the domestic terrorism, mothers and fathers domestic terrorists for standing up. And they says in an internal memo sent to the membership and shared with the Center Square early Friday, PSBA describes the letter from the National School Board Association as the final straw in a series of conflicts that have been brewing for years. And folks, I can't tell you how much that speaks to me relative to working with counties and officials, seats of decision in these counties, looking at all these attachments to the associations that have problems within them. And when you focus everyone's attention, hey, you have a problem with this association. When they finally look at that, because they did too, they said, oh, these people are helping us. And when you point out that they're not, there's a lot of work and action that has to happen, but ultimately the ties will be severed. When I saw that this was the final straw of a series, I understood why this school board did sever ties. They're taking these non-governmental organization associations that are mouthpieces nationally that are subverting the need, and they're been all these years being given bad information as they bring the agendas on, as one of the avenues of destruction in this country. In other words, for the county, one of the counties was involved, and I was working with a mentoring a colleague of mine. One of the counties was involved with two national associations. Each one was pushing the agenda. Now, these associations have thousands of jurisdiction counties as members. And I pointed out, as the analysis that I do, like the white papers that I might do, like the one I did for the National Wildfire Policy to show where the county has the ultimate authority and how that was being supported by these associations. Once I focused the attention on where that was, the counties then realized they needed to sever ties and relook at how they would engage if they would engage. And this is another track of destruction that we're suffering that people really are blind to. And so I just want to bring this up. This is another weakness that we've had. A lot of good people, I want to condemn lots of this stuff because there's no excuse for it when I see it, but the school board finally saying it was a final straw. This was finally too much for a series of violations that the people were putting up with. And here's the point. They finally said no. See, but you also see the manipulation to capitulation, step by step, incrementally, the final straw means this has been going on for a long time, brewing, as they say. And so we can read this story, get an insight, see it. This is another example of what's going on. I was glad to see the school board step up. I hope they're doing better, other than things better as well. But this is what it may take. Some people, if you listen to me, understand this condition, read this story, see how they did it, go find that model for you. If you've got little ones in school, watching your school board destroyed, maybe they have an undue influence upon them. You need to find how we usually work. We find one commissioner, let's say, that wants to hear the truth, that can see the truth, and then finds out how wrong it is and is willing to come to bat for, the representation that they were supposed to be. And so there's another pathway. I tend to understand for me, for y'all, it's all hand-to-hand combat, man and woman on the line. But this is another opportunity for you to come to essentially, you start behind the scenes, gain their confidence, show them you have no confidence in them, show the black and white, show how you came to it, make it simple for them, and get a relationship going that steps this thing back to undo decades of encroachment and incremental destruction. The softening up, if you will, of the population from the inside. Republican AG says there's no federal vaccine mandate for private workers, vow to sue. So apparently this is on the way in. I don't know what they're going to vow to sue, but at any rate, so we have a Republican AG. That shouldn't matter. The politics shouldn't matter. The Attorney General is supposed to be the solicitor of your state. That's the highest chief law officer of the state. I haven't seen much evidence of it all. And then this guy says that there's no federal vaccine mandate. Well, thank you very much for making that statement. I'm glad to hear it. But what's the suit? If law was to rule, the AG, I don't care if he's Republican or Democrat, and they're both not doing this, they would look at their state laws and say, no jurisdiction in my state has complied with the most basic duty that was imposed upon them by the legislature. That's a breach of the separation of powers. And how? Because in not doing the duty, we have not known that there is actually there's no non-fraudulent exigency demonstrated for the emergency that we're wielding. If he would do that, he wouldn't have to sue the president or threaten over mandates that don't exist. Because there's no threat or emergency that exists for which the mandates could apply. And so these are the kinds of, I don't know, false head-faking type stuff that drives me nuts. But here it is. We at least have a Montana Attorney General, Austin Knudsen, a Republican, noted that the White House only last week submitted the text of its emergency rule regarding vaccinations to the Office of Budget Management and Budget, meaning it hasn't gone into effect. You see how he's fallen short? He didn't go to the beginning. No, he's in the middle of it. He says, it's just a procedural thing. It has to go through the rulemaking process. Well, that's true. But it can never rule over the states. And I've talked and explained to you numbers of times how that's the fact and how the United States government has said that. It's a reservation in that the International Health Regulation of 2005, printed right in the law internationally. So I find an interesting Office of Management and Budget. There's your regulatory, there's your money, there's your appropriations. Well, it has to all go through. It's like a big corporation. And what I kind of chuckled when I saw this story here ago, a while ago, I realized that I looked at the warning sticker that was stuck to our piece of machine, my mining incident machinery, by the Forest Service criminal, and realized it doesn't have an OMB number, but he put private information on it. The OMB number, to put private information on a federal document that's publicly disclosed, has to have an OMB number. So he's violated the administrative law just by using that sticker on our machine where he did it. And if you just listen to what I just said, where did I learn that? Well, it's a bit of reading, yes. But when you understand how finite and limited the authorities are, and you can detail this out, you're starting to show that the government is limited, where it's limited, how the people are doing things to other people are criminals. It's not just your opinion. Now, I don't know what they're going to do when they see that, but we've used that in other mining situation on other miners, and we said, wait a minute, your form that you're asking for private information doesn't have an OMB number, and therefore it's not you're misapplying that form. In fact, that form, and you find its source, you have the answer, that form comes through this other statute, and that's applicable to you. That's why it doesn't have an OMB number. You're not supposed to be asking for private information. What we used that for attached to our machine was it was a deceptively, complete deceptive instrument. That's a violation of law. And so, yeah, it's a little bit of working around here, but the OMB is important here. When you start watching out, this is like a big corporation. They have to do things by the administrative rules, and there have to be appropriations for that. And where the money goes, it has to be documented and the rightfully implemented. Now, how this is actually coming out, that the rule and the OMB has to be involved on something that doesn't exist, is my problem with this Attorney General, for as much as I appreciate him calling out that there's no mandate for any federal imposition in his state. If you understand, though, you can be told the truth and it not be the complete and whole truth. It's what I'm asking you to understand, and you go to the beginning steps, the failure that starts the problem. Now, we have somebody sent me a bunch of links came my way this week. Thank you. Tons of information coming through, folks. I don't even know where to begin with a lot of it. I try to put something together that's coherent. I could have given you 1,000 links this week. There's way too much for me to deal with. And so links come, and I've got to distill it down. So any of you listening that hear that your link or your discussions, I see the links, but I have to reduce it down to this. And there was a video regarding this. I don't have the link for that. I don't remember. But it was talking about this provision, a question to the OSHA, are adverse reactions to COVID vaccine recordable on the OSHA record-keeping log? One of the reasons why I didn't, I think, now give the video is the video was, it was sounding as if there's a requirement and that was being breached. When you got to go to the code. When you read the code, they never mention it here. They give you a code, go read it. It's a rule. 29 CFR 1904 is mentioned here. I went to it. When you read that section, go through, read it, the federal law, if you go to Cornell, it's broken down into little bitty bite-sized bits. You can read it pretty readily. It's not these long, long, long sections. You can look for certain things if you're only looking for certain things. But it says here, do they have to record? And the video was saying, it looks like they're breaching the recording. It says DOL and OSHA, as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers for receiving COVID vaccinations, and also does not wish to disincentivize employers' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904 recording requirements to require any employers to record worker side effects from the COVID vaccination at least through May 2022. All right, here's the future right there, folks. We will reevaluate. You think this is ending in 2 weeks, folks? We will reevaluate the agency's position at that time to determine the best course of action moving forward. So, lots to see in here. They're not going to discourage using the vaccines and they're not going to let you know and not require that adverse effects be recorded. Does this sound somebody like somebody looking out for your health and safety? And that was the big deal, I think, the takeaway on the video. They were not going to let you know. They're not going to require that you know and require the employer to do adverse effects. My contention with that video was, do they have to? It was quickly found when you go to 24 CFR 1904, if you look a little farther in, there is within the power of OSHA to essentially negate any rule. There really is no requirement. And they have to put that in writing. That's what this is. They have to put it in writing what that point is. And so they're writing that we aren't going to enforce that part. And they have the right to do that. So I want to ask you administratively, what purpose is that rule then? It's not a requirement like we consider requirements. We would think that this would be the thing they have to do, but you notice it's malleable to the needs of the occupier. Health and safety is not for you. It's for the health and safety of the bottom line of the corporation called the government. This is to keep the slave workers safe and the employers on some equal footing so they don't beat the slaves into submission and get rid of them and interfere with production. I said that, you should have laughed. And what's going on in the world today? Because there's the new normal, the reset, the imposition of austerity, the diminishment of your capacity, the testing of your will and action against it. And the government's there to help in the third-party imposition where there is no mandate. And you just heard an attorney general say, well, even we limit it down to the administrative procedures, there's no mandate. And yet there's really no mandate because when you do what I suggest, you put on the employer and demand the necessity for them that you've caused that's causing them an undue financial hardship that they're trying to mitigate. When you put that pressure on them that's required by the same OSHA, there is no vaccine to interfere with the imposition of which to interfere with by the OSHA. And so they're telling you they're not going to require this. It's astonishing. Why would they want people to know of the harm? Why wouldn't that be a requirement? And it's not. So don't argue with it. Notice that's what they're saying. You don't have to be told you're an enslaved people. You don't have to be told that you're in an occupied territory. You don't have to be told you're at war. Labor Code, Article 1 says, you'll know it when you see it. And you got to see it. If you don't have eyes to see like this, I don't know what to say about most all y'all. And then those of us that are doing what we can, there's a small percentage of people, as I said earlier in the broadcast, will go ahead and, charge in and do all their things they're supposed to do. But when it comes down to execution, they cut their power short. And at that point, I'm disappointed, but there's nothing I can say more about it. I have no more that I can do. What I can do is look forward at the reoccurrence now that they're going to be suffering and their what they've done to hobble themselves. And try to figure out how to help them in the future, given they want help, help them in the future to avoid that. Court sides with unvaccinated Michigan athletes in mandate case. So we would think, oh, that's a cool thing. If you're looking at truth, see, I don't care about the vaccine, get it or not. Do you understand what it's doing? Do you understand what it is? Do you understand that there's a lie behind it? Do you understand that it's, have you proven it to yourself? Has your local official proven it to you? About you. This is all what I'm focused on. And if they haven't, then all these mitigation measures and these vaccinated impositions, these vaccination impositions are wrongful. And so court sides with unvaccinated Michigan athletes in mandate case. That's a good thing. Because I already know that no jurisdiction has demonstrated a non-fraudulent agency to do anything relative to mitigation or mandating anything. 16 unvaccinated athletes won another round in their legal battle to play sports despite Western Michigan's university's mandate that all of its intercollegiate athletes get the COVID-19 vaccine shot in a unanimous published decision. October 7th, the United States Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit of Cincinnati, Ohio, held that the university violated the athletes' First Amendment rights. All 16 athletes had filed their religious exemptions, which, according to the court, the university ignored or denied. The court stated the university put plaintiffs to the choice: get vaccinated or stop fully participating in intercollegiate sports, by conditioning the privilege of playing sports on plaintiffs' willingness to abandon their sincere religious beliefs. The university burdened their free exercise rights. What I've been telling you is file your exemptions. File something on the record. There is no authority to deny them. These people are going through this one where everybody else gets wiped out because there wasn't a provision made pursuant to the law relative to that religious exemption. You also have conscientious objection, which doesn't have to be so-called religious. What, Seeger case, I think? Read that. Pretty interesting. He's a pacifist. He still got it passed through for, I think, conscription, if I remember right. So this case is why. You got to look at the underlying, but what are they doing? They're capitulating to the requirement that they need to, not challenging that the government has not demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency. On the other hand of this, another court rejects challenge to Janet Mills' vaccine mandate. The first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston late Tuesday rejected a challenge to Governor Janet Mills' COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers, saying that the state's interest, quote, in safeguarding its residents is paramount, close quote. Didn't I say that, folks? You have to overcome this paramount authority. This police power prerogative is all powerful to a particular point. The only one I can find is the fraud. And that's what I've been saying that people need to assert. If you don't defeat their order at the state level going into federal court, they are maintaining that prerogative. They actually, I think, in this one, bring up the case of the Jacobson case. And so that reminds me to tell you, anybody that's going to do this type of to challenge this, you have to read deep in the Jacobson case, Massachusetts, I think it was, and deep into that case. Don't accept the beginning of it. Go read the back on the bottom. And it said, where there's an oppression regarding these things, the court has jurisdiction to review. And if you're going to go to federal, you need to bring up, acknowledge Jacobson, and I think it was Jacobson, and then show where the court is duty-bound to take it on as a challenge, not in safeguarding its residents being paramount. That's the same decision you heard of the very first cases I told you were wrong and why they were wrong. So in the first place, we're within the mitigation and the government's denying these companies, this university, it's a probably university system, it's the state itself, essentially. They make it sound like a third party. I don't know if it's the same, but it sounds similar. They're just ignored. But there's no law to ignore a thing you've done that's required in law for you to do. Remember, once the notice is put, it sets up a whole series of due process considerations, the burden of which switches over to, in this case, the university. Over here, the lawsuit comes in and says, relative to the mandates, well, no, we have a paramount authority here that you have not thrown down, that we have to recognize. And so we're back to what I said originally. You have to challenge the assertion of the emergency itself. You have to show that it may not exist. Federal judge rules against natural immunity claim challenging COVID-19 vaccine mandate. The federal judge on October 18th, this is the narrow path to being developed for you by these court cases, and it's all consistent with what I've told you, at least the minimum of what needs to be done to get through better than what we've seen going on. And I guess I have to say it with hesitation, a bit of caveat, except I really have trouble with this Bar Association capitulating on their own to agree already that there was an emergency, that none of them, looking at the law, no different than the Bar Association and the Montana Attorney General, did not look at the law and the fulfillment of the duties of the state when they made their decision, whether or not they were met. They just accept that they were. A federal judge on October 8th denied a request to block Michigan State University COVID-19 vaccine mandate on the basis of natural immunity. And so this kind of mitigates the other guy's, the professor's attack that now this woman did, Gina Norris filed a lawsuit against the mandate to ask the judge to intervene on the basis that she had already contracted COVID-19 and recovered. She presented two antibody tests showing her previous infection, and her doctors told her that she didn't need to get the vaccination at the time. Despite her natural immunity, Norris faces termination from the university for not complying with the school's mandate that all students and staff get the shot unless they have a medical or religious exemption. There it is. Still, it's on mitigation side. And, this is the case that brings up the 1905 ruling. The judge, so-called U.S. District Judge. Remember, U.S. District Court judges are not District Court of the United States judges. U.S. District Court judges are legislative court, Article 1 or 4 courts. They're not Article 3 courts. But anyway, U.S. District, how do you read that? Go read Title 28 U.S.C. Section 81 to about 133. Read carefully. Go use Cornell. Read the notes. It's going to take you 3-4 days. Took me 7. So, till it took me a while to figure out what it was. Now I can tell people. I've already talked to people. Some people have done it. You realize that these courts are not competent necessarily to decide these things anyway. The U.S. District Court Judge Paul Maloney, an appointee of former President George W. Bush, declined her lawsuit. The mandate, Malone said, didn't violate her fundamental rights and pointed to the 1905 Supreme Court ruling. Quote, "This court must apply the law of the Supreme Court. Jacobson essentially applied rational basis review and found that the vaccine mandate was rational in protecting the public health and public safety," Malone said in the order. "The court cannot ignore this binding precedent." Is it really binding? I just told you, if you read farther in there, it says if you show some oppression or violation of law or fraud, then they have to take it on, and they're not constrained to that rational basis, are they? And so this is a bunch of attorneys who got together to not present and argue that the Jacobson case did not just say what she said. And I told you this was going to be a problem 2 years ago. Study finds COVID cases unrelated to vaccine rates. Apparently, these judges don't even understand the studies, or someone's not presenting them. I guess they could live blind in their judiciary capacity, I suppose. How do you actually do that? Blind justice. How do you do that? Again, we're told about what's going on if we would just recognize it. Study finds COVID cases unrelated to vaccine rates. Thank you to another emailer about this one. I had a little bit of trouble reading through this one. I didn't know which direction it was going to go. The statement in the story, I think I have. Oh, this is the story. It misquotes the study. And so I got lost in the study, in the report, saying, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And it took me quite a while to organize. I think I'm comfortable with this now, to say what they say, but it's still to promote vaccinations, that the study finds COVID cases unrelated to vaccination rates. They found no correlation. What they did do is find some things I thought were correlating, so I think the title of this is incorrect. They say that it's unrelated to vaccination rates. The study says it's unrelated. But when you get in and you see a phrase, that the vaccinations nominally increase up to 9%, the increase in hospitalization, and increase 15% the deaths and hospitalization deaths, then it seemed to me there is a relation, even though it's 9 and 50%. That's almost greater than the flu itself, which getting to around 10%, that would be a serious flu. This vaccination causes an increase, 9% and 15% respectively. It was the highest incidence, but it causes it nonetheless. It looked to me that it is related. COVID cases, so-called COVID cases, again, not the test, but what they're testing for, the vaccinations caused this increase. I thought that was as telling. That wasn't highlighted in the story. But they are unrelated. It's the vaccinations don't relate. In other words, you can't tell that when you get it, it's going to do you any good anyway. And so there's a story, there's a link. I read the study, partly because of the statement was not correct in the story. So be careful. Don't get trapped in there. I got lost. I go, how is this even possible? They excluded information when they didn't fully report. Well, it ends up being that the reporting they excluded when their totals didn't include the fully vaccinated. There was a percentage that they couldn't apply anyway. So that's what that meant within the context of the report. So anyway, you have to read it if you're interested. There's no correlation, but I found a correlation. It's a 9% hospitalization, and it's a 15% death after an increase, nominal, they call it, nominal increase, up to 15% death increase for the vaccine, right in that report, which is kind of startling a bit. I also noticed in the findings that you talk about Germany in the story, and so I wondered, because there's this problem of delay, and relative to another, let's step back a little bit, they don't know what they're doing when they test for COVID, right? There's no test. There still is no test, and there can't be, relative to this. There is a test, but it's the, they would have to tell you that it's the synthetic that they know how to test for. That is the one they can find. But they can't tell you that's the chemist, that's the lab-made one, because it wouldn't be natural. They couldn't pass this fraud off. But a thought occurred to me when I was looking at the story and looked at the charts that they bring Germany in, and something struck my mind. I said, well, they're talking about the delayed reaction. Now, when does this thing really get started? And my mind happened to be relating, because I keep telling you about this. It's routine. It's all my life. School starts, there's sickness that goes out across the land. All kinds of sickness, all kinds of things going on as the kids, the little goats go through school and intermingle in the courtyard, in their little courtyards, and whatever they do, we get sick, all kinds of flus and whatever comes through. You just got to go through it. And that came to my mind, and I said, well, that also takes about a month or so to start getting into the flu, into the stream of it. And when they would be testing then, if there were kids going to school, they would be testing these people. And increases in so-called surges of sickness at the time, about a month later, then school started. So what? Germany's on the list. Let's go look. I don't know anything about Germany. Maybe those of you there can tell me. I just typed in Germany school starts in DuckDuckGo, and first entry is German school schedule. The official school year runs between 1st of August to 31st of July. And I said, well, heck, they started doing their tests at the end of September in that study. That's a month, that's, or the beginning of September. That's a month right there. And so there was a correlation between the surge in Germany relative to the testing period, which was narrow. It still correlated with an external force, if you will. I was able just to go right to it and say, well, this is as plausible a surge and increase for the cases. What doesn't change is that you can report someone got vaccinated and there was a 9 to 15% higher incident, a negative effect from them. For your determination. And here's my protein listing. I must have put it out of sorts here. You'll get that. I may move it up. This is where I just want you to look at what I get the protein from Wiki. Biological molecule consists of chains of amino acid residues is what they say, but it's not biological. When you look through it, biochemists are making proteins. You have the problem of mismaking of protein, the folding, the contortions of through chemical malmanipulations in systems. But this is chemistry. Nothing in a protein is other than chemistry. And so that spike they're sticking on to everything can't be a biological organism that was required to actually have a vaccine. And so I want to, now with the protein and how the substrate works, and the graphene oxide came to mind with the protein. This is synthetic. How are they constructing it? Way beyond me, but it's there. All the elements are there to go research and see that's what they're doing. Now, not necessarily how you go about do it step by step, but something came up in the stream of things. They're building a synthetic chemical weapon. What's the best way to address that would be with a counter weapon, a counter chemistry, and we would be looking at all kinds of potential things that we've been doing. I've been offering things here and there. I just want to offer some more for consideration. You don't need to be fearful. I think just our nutrition, just get our nutrition up and be helpful. Specific to certain components we hear are in these would be something you'd want to target. But a general function of the body doing things and clearing, disassembling molecules of things would be the next best in the generic thing. The gentleman comes up pretty much with what I was telling you before. So I want to offer this, La Quinta Columa, possible way to remove magnetic graphene oxide from the body post-injection. So if you got the injection, just get back into getting your body to go after the problem areas that the chemistry now, not a biology, the chemistry would do. We talked about antioxidants and all that. We talked about all these fantastic things that are in the dark black fruits and all this other thing. Well, this gentleman names a couple of extra things. I've got them on tabs. I've never been able to get back to them. He doesn't mention things like septase, I think it is. There's these enzymes that are available. Do the research, folks. We're not helpless, and it all can work. I can't say anything for anybody particular, but it can work to help your body function a little bit better and disassemble these chemical constructions. He brings up a bunch of things. I just want to name them. You can just put them on a list. Go look at them for yourself. Things I've mentioned. One thing here I didn't. It's actually the better thing to get. Here, the N-acetylcysteine. It actually is a precursor to the glutathione I've talked about, but it makes it. I always like the precursor steps to be in my body so that the body can create these as it needs. I'm not forcing it in. Glutathione's a difficult amino acid. I think it's amino acid, to digest. It's not very efficacious. It can put stuff in your system, but it's not ever very efficacious. So he mentioned N-acetylcysteine. He is going directly after the deconstruction of the graphene oxide, like I've talked to you about before. I just wanted you to hear someone else about this. He also has zinc, something called astaxanthin. Very interesting chemical. It's a natural chemical. It's identified most appropriately with shellfish, and it's the orange or yellow color that you see them. Again, these dyes, they're not this poison that can actually do us something. That's another thing I hadn't heard of before, so that's a new one to me. Quercetin is involved. D3, he mentions. Milk thistle, he mentions. Again, these are the things I've told you that are there. This is NAC, N-acetylcysteine, is seemingly a very important one. A couple of these I cannot find in the stores. They're just not available. So you be on the lookout for yourself. Do the research. Find out the systems they do. I told you, I work on what systems are the body, is the body being fed with these nutrients, and what does it do with it? As best as I can understand, there's a limit. I can only do so much. But anyway, there's a lot we can do. He says pretty much similar things relative to graphene oxide. To me, it's a way that's a flushing system. Your body's getting flushed. You're actually chemically combining to these elements that don't need to be in your body anyway, and it's the body's natural mechanisms to keep your system functioning and flushing, if you will, if you're focused on doing that. Seroceptase, I want to say that again. I didn't bring it up, but that's one he doesn't mention. That looked very important, maybe to throw it out there. However, I botched that name or word. There are things that we can do. Another researcher, another thing that's come up, I think it was a link I got in an email. Chinese researchers discovered the holy grail of graphene oxide detox. Now, this was an interesting story, why I'm even talking about it, and I don't know. Again, look into it for yourself. I've never done what the supposed answer here is. The point is, you're talking about chemistry, acids, you're talking about enzymes that deconstruct chemical constructions, what we're up against. Even if they're transmitted as plasma and things, our bodies need to have the ability to resist. But Chinese researchers discover the holy grail of graphene oxide. Very interesting. The element, the acid they talk about really got my mind back to the future, if you will, relative to something I've talked to you about years and years ago. But what they come up with is humic acid acts as a natural antidote of graphene by regulating nanomaterial translocation and metabolic fluxes in vivo. And so we have a mechanism. Well, again, whether it works, I don't know. Whether it would be something you're interested in, I don't know. Therapeutic potential of fulvic acid in chronic inflammatory diseases and diabetes was another study that I got, that you can see there's an immune response to this fulvic and humic acid. Now, again, I have not utilized these. I've studied them a bit. Again, my resources aren't such that I can just experiment with just anything I see anyway, but I did talk about humic acid in an interesting way. It came up when we were talking about chemtrails or whatever you want to call those things, geoengineering now, they admit. Remember I talked to you that it came on my radar years and years and years ago, maybe almost 10 years ago, relative to the study that was done and how long it took humic acid to degrade aluminum. And the idea was because there was high levels of aluminum in these so-called non-existent geoengineering chemtrails that the it looked like they were finding out it was commissioned by like a military type thing. It looked like they were looking to see how fast the evidence disappears and whether Yumikoyasa, the soil itself, would degrade. Well, they found out, if you remember, if you listen to me this long or have been listening to me this long, I think it was 3 to 3.5 days, elemental aluminum and compounds disintegrate, which I found fascinating. That's almost like transmutation. How does that element disappear? Anyway, humic acid is a very fascinating thing in nature. It's in the soil. And when you're building, so you try to build the strength of the soil, and this is one of the acids that develop that helps to do all that. It's a very interesting thing. Apparently, you can take it into your body as well as a nutrient. Maybe it answers why when I was younger, I would eat earthworms. I guess they were so good, and I got my nutrition, too, from those little tasty tidbits. But anyway, so humic acid is the Chinese statement there that will disassemble the graphene oxide. I found it consistent with the disassembleization, I guess, of the aluminum element from the study I did a long time ago. I just wanted to point that out. Thank you for the link to that. Very important. Other options, folks, and we're dealing in chemistry. Don't think biology here. Don't close off that it's not biology, but it's all pointing to chemistry. It's pointing to lipids. Soap would work against lipids, right? So you're looking for, if you will, detergents. You're looking for oxidizers. You're looking for all things that flush and bind and catalysts, nutrient stuff that does that. So keep your mind open to all these. And so there's our intake, our understanding can help us bring things into our diet that helps to help. And maybe we should all just have a teaspoon of dirt, good dirt. It has to be good dirt. But maybe that's a way to look at it. Maybe not. Maybe we should go look at some better sources. The point is, there are people looking at this and finding, consistent with what I found before for myself in talking to you, there is stuff out there for us to utilize. Going back to the kids, the little goats, and them not meaning you any good, and they're willing to harm your kids, your little goats, in school, unprecedented supply chain problems hit school cafeterias across the U.S. These people implementing this attack understood, and this was a part of the attack of the global supply chain. They knew this was going to happen. They are willing to not only inject your little ones, they're willing to deprive them of the sustenance they need in the schools. I hadn't heard of supply chain about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Now it's the word. Why? It's because it's the next iteration of what they want to tell you is going on, and they're going to blame the coverer of all sins, COVID. And it's not. It's government. It's these officials not following the law. What you need to start really calling out, demand the demonstration of the non-fraudulent exigency. What's an easier word? The non-fraudulent necessity that they need to act at all. Unprecedented supply chain problems. Folks, in a nation of plenty, you think the word unprecedented is a little understatement? A growing number of school districts across the United States say their supply chain bottlenecks have forced them to suspend service and food items. They're now putting that on the parents, if you will. The parents. You are coming out of your pocket. They're going to eat at you some more. So you're being eaten. And you're going to feed your little ones. Don't care whether they're called little goats by the government or your sons and daughters. The school across Denver are struggling to receive enough milk to serve every child at breakfast and lunch every day. What? Milk? Are you kidding me? What, the milk they were dumping 2 years ago? I guess enough said. I just go on. It irritates me just to even read this stuff. This is a setup for the takedown. They're doing it right in front of your face. There is no bottlenecks that aren't caused and created. Planned. They're starving you out. What did I tell you last week? The treasurer, deputy treasurer said they're starving you out from your everything. Food, supplies, everything. They're closing. You're in the castle, within the walls of the castle. They're closing the doors. And yet there's no actual reason for it. And if you ask and listen around, you'll find people in the industries that would have continued to do this, that it's still It's still going on. They're still able to get around and do their things. There are bottlenecks, but they're planned. At any rate, that's up for you to find it and see. Again, I'm just going to say it again. I hope you're preparing some food right now. The price going up and all this other thing, I don't see it pitching back at all. And we're going into winter. Then do it while you can, folks. If you do like a little bit of preparation, you can always eat that for a while. Even if it doesn't go bad, just reintegrate it back in. But it's maybe having to go to your little ones as they start starving. You start seeing the crack in Denver. Again, that's White House West, if you haven't figured that city out. Why all these connections here, I don't understand how people don't see it. Boris Johnson calls in ex-Tesco boss to fix supply chain crisis. Why doesn't Boris Johnson just declare the COVID pandemic a fraud? That he's going to ask some corporate boss who was in on this globalization to so-called solve the problem of the empty shelves in shops and supermarkets. Apparently, he's putting more fear because they're actually saying this may interrupt all y'all in UK for your Christmas. You're not going to get your presents. Coal in your stocking, UK. And what are they blaming this on? COVID and Brexit. The very thing they were supposed to be relieving you of. Now they're using it as the bludgeon. All lies, but this is the scapegoat. Boris Johnson calls in ex-Tesco boss to fix supply chain crisis. How, folks? Why don't you just stop calling COVID-19 a pandemic, out it for the fraud it is, and let's get back to business. Another corporate insight thing going on, which kind of starts to turn the ray beam on us, the interrogation beam on us. Insight AI can see through you, CEO's language under machine microscope. This report tells us, and interestingly, they use NLP, natural language processing, NLP, increasingly popular. I thought NLP was neuro-linguistic programming. And so you see the thing going on and letting the new term come in to look like AI is going to come in and do something. And this is going to do pattern recognition like I've been telling you. They're already using it to listen to people's, the CEO's words and analyze them. Companies are using these programs to analyze the speech. And that directly now relates over to market valuation and other people that are doing market evaluation strategies. They're analyzing what's being said, and they're telegraphing the idea that what's being said can move markets, if you will. My view on this was they're telling you like I've told you before, and they use transcripts to do it. When they started taking transcripts like of my voice on YouTube, they're going to run that through. They took my audio, put it into digital, and then they have a machine that's been analyzing all of this stuff from everybody that's doing this. And here's the thing you want to read about this story that got me. If you look very carefully, you realize it's just like epidemiology. It's cooking the books. It's all run on algorithms that are programmed by people that have an interest. What do they want? Well, you say, well, that's market CEO. I don't do Market Street. I don't do Wall Street. I don't do any of that. Well, yes, you do. You don't realize it. That's the first problem, number one. Number two is you don't realize they're already doing to you at your home, your phone, your internet. They're telling us here they can take your words and they can do an analysis. And when you go look and see, it's not neutral. It's a biased algorithm treatment of what your voice is doing in words and how they are causing, as I told you before, you may be innocent. Those that analyze what you said may not be so innocent and may have an agenda to prove, and you become, even in innocence, you become the mechanism and tool through which they move an agenda and put words in your mouth, if you will. Here's the first insight. This is not some idea. It's already been in play. It's also something consistent with what I've said. And maybe some of these links came this week. I'm noticing some of their old stories. They're also confirming. They're just more and more and more of the same story, confirming everything, not everything, but things I have said in the past. We're now seeing, now being told to us, is not a game, not a story, not a fairy tale. It's actually going on. It's actually moving markets now. I want you to now make that private to you. You think it's CEOs? No. Surveillance system is on you. and they're going to take and apply their algorithms. They want to call school the parents from school kids terrorists, domestic terrorists. Reconsider what's going on with this. This is almost, I can just see this is going to shut. When you start truly understanding this, this starts silencing the society. And Pentagon wants to arm drones with non-lethal lasers and microwave cannon. My first thought on that, which caught my mind, is why would the Pentagon... Now, I understand there's a why you don't want to kill an enemy in some enemy. You don't want to kill them. But why would the Pentagon be so comprehensively interested in armed drones and non-lethal lasers and microwave cannon? Well, when you look deep enough in this story, it's telling you they're going to use them. They're using them against populations. That's civilians, folks. The military is already telling you they're willing to do war crimes. And the point is, the cannons and the drones are facing you. Put this together, folks. Michigan lawmakers push bill to avenge Lucas Gearhart, prevent pro-Second Amendment speech from being classified as terrorism. A picture and some words scribbled on an internet account is enough to get you convicted in Michigan for terrorism, showing a gun and some statements. Your free speech is gone. The Second Amendment promotion is a terrorism in Michigan. And so now the court has said that that's what it is. You don't have the protection of the First Amendment. You don't have the protection of the Second Amendment to even promote it. And the legislature has to now make a bill to make that outlaw because of what the courts have done. Predictably, they're the Bar Association. They're the advisor to the UN, which has a knot tied in the barrel of a pistol. So your free speech is being under attack. Pentagon wants to arm these drones with non-legal lasers and microwave cannons. You think it might have to do with that injection you got going to, trinary weapon going on here? The military is doing that, focusing at you, and then I hear Tesla's driving data storage system hacked by Dutch investigators. Not normally a big deal, except this is your future. Your life is going to be digital world. A team of forensic researchers have decrypted Tesla's data storage system, providing access to a trove of information that could be useful for crash investigators. As someone crashes your life when they get your private information. As the technology that the military focuses these microwave beams to do whatever they want, that could be as simply as reading your mind, reading your devices, seeing this information. Shadow Dragon, inside the social media surveillance software that can watch your every move. They do this in a story real time. You don't think it says Michigan police state has a contract to this. Michigan, you're seeing today, the big deal. They're beating on people, stealing their rights, all digitally. And this is done, the Shadow Dragon program has done deep analysis of your social contact and connections, which over at Citizen Z, over at YouTube account, he put up a video about it, social net overview map, social media connections in real time. This is happening real time to y'all. The military is making technology to come in and focus everything and the attention on you, that battlefield of Internet of Things, folks. This is happening now. Thank you to Citizen Z for giving me the insight there just to see. It's just an animation of what they're talking about. It's connected. It looks like these corporate connection animations that show you who you're connected with in real time. You don't think the cops can tell where you're at on your phone? Your little ones, all this other stuff, track and trace. It's already happening, folks. Grimmer, I hope you're getting better. Haven't seen you here in that chat room. Anybody who is syndicating, I thank you very much for doing that and getting the broadcast and the word out. And I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.